The Professional Fighters League regular season rolls on tonight with heavyweights and women's lightweights. Coming up today at 7 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Coverage of the undercard begins at 5:30 Eastern on ESPN Plus. To get ESPN Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you back to our studios to another hour of Get Up. We come to you live from the Seaport District in New York City. We are brought to you, as always, by Chase. I am Greeny. That is Chris Canty. Ryan Clark is here. Kimberly Martin is here. We've talked to Tim Kirchin today. Rob Domofsky from Green Bay. We have been jam-packed, and the best is yet to come. Here we go with the menu for hour number two. It is time to Get Up with Aaron Rodgers and the route out of Green Bay. Wait until you hear the comparison that one executive made. The Packers aren't going to like it. Meanwhile, McShay on the way with the very first look at the list that everyone will be scrambling for around this time next year. And then, what the actual heck happened here? We'll show it to you, and we'll tell you just how easily it could have been avoided. All of that and more as we get up with you for this hour, starting now in Green Bay with the story that is not going away. What is next for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? We know he wants out. And now, according to Adam Schefter, the Packers are putting their backup plans in place. Right before we came on the air this morning, Schefter tweeting, the Packers have begun exploring quarterbacks they can add to their roster for OTAs and training camp. Jordan Love currently is the only other quarterback on the roster, but the team also faces uncertainty surrounding Aaron Rodgers. Packers quarterback search includes some veterans. So, again, it's just another indication of where this thing is headed, but it certainly isn't putting it all the way over the top. And so, Kimberly Martin, as you have been calling around, talking to people around the league, what is the overlying expectation of the way this thing is going to go?
You know, it's funny, Greeny, I've talked to so many GMs and NFL execs, and one in particular described it as, this is like Michael Jordan, moving on from Michael Jordan in his prime or after he wins a championship. That's how good Aaron Rodgers is. And do you want to be the guy that is so focused on the future that you completely disregard, disown one of the greatest QBs to ever play? And in fact, even an exec who's on a team that drafted in the first round, drafted a QB recently, said we should be on the phone calling about Aaron Rodgers. The only teams that shouldn't are the Chiefs and the Bucks. Now the question is, how long will this saga unfold? A lot of GMs I talked to said they don't think he'll be moved anytime soon. Green Bay isn't pressured to do anything. But Schefter's report today, clearly Green Bay understands that they've lost control. And Aaron has all the chips on his side of the table.
Well, and I think we all, just sort of psychoanalyzing him from afar, feel as though that's important to him, you know. And the Michael Jordan comparison is an interesting one, RC, and I want to put that one to you because, and you mentioned it earlier this morning, I mean, you consumed with The Last Dance, the documentaries, and Michael Jordan and his personality and all that. And I do see a lot of parallels here. Do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see a lot of parallels, but here's what didn't happen. As much as we, you know, want to talk about what Aaron Rodgers is calling Brian Gutekunst and saying he's Jerry Krause, Jerry Krause didn't draft Grant Hill. Jerry Krause didn't draft Anthony Hardaway. Jerry Krause didn't draft Kobe Bryant. Nah, Jerry Krause understood that he had the greatest two-guard of all time, as the Green Bay Packers should understand they have one of the best quarterbacks that have ever played. But when I was talking to Zach yesterday and we were kind of preparing for this, we talked about how much longer do we feel Aaron Rodgers has. And right, when we look at his talent, when we look at him being an MVP caliber player, we always put that on his skill level, right? The type of arm he has, the athleticism. We never associate Aaron Rodgers with the love of football, right? When we talk about Drew Brees and why he was so good, it was his studying, it was his work ethic, it was all of these things he did outside of talent. Tom Brady eating avocado ice cream, the TB12 way, all of these different things that he does to continue to play. And even when we spoke about Peyton Manning, what was it? It was about how cerebrally he approached the game, his study, right? His work, his dedication to the sport of football. We never talk about that with Aaron Rodgers. Maybe there's something that goes on in that building or a feeling that people have about that locker room that says, you know what? Once he's not one of the best throwers of the football we've ever seen, which we don't know when that's going to happen, once he's not that guy, then his love for the game, his dedication for the game isn't the same that allow him to play till 45, play until 43, play until 42. And so maybe we got to start getting that plan in place. And so Brian Gutekunst said, you know what? We're just going to have something for the future in case we need it. Problem was, that started a clock on Aaron Rodgers' last day that Aaron Rodgers wasn't comfortable with. So now he's taking that into his own hands, and moving forward, we'll see how this thing plays out. But this was started with the drafting of Jordan Love. Aaron Rodgers says he's going to be the one to finish it.
He said it himself. I mean, in that interview with Pat McAfee, I continue to be mad at myself. We should have made a bigger deal at the time when he said, I threw a monkey wrench into their plans by playing so well. You can't get a better signal that this guy was going to do what he's done now. So, Chris Canty, let's do this. Give me the team that should be on the phone right now with the Packers and should not hang up until they get him. The team that absolutely wins the Super Bowl next year if they find a way to get Aaron Rodgers.
Well, Greeny, it's got to be the Denver Broncos, right? When you look at what they have on the defensive side of the ball, what Vic Fangio has built out there, like, that defense is ready to go. It's just a matter of getting the offense up to speed. And Drew Lock hasn't played up to the expectations that they had when they drafted him with a second-round pick a couple of years ago. So it's absolutely the Denver Broncos. They should not hang up with GM Brian Gutekunst. They got to find a way to be able to get this deal done. Now, we all expect that to be after June 1st, but, I mean, here's the deal. Brian Gutekunst is going to find himself on the wrong side of NFL history because we've never had a reigning MVP play in a different uniform the following season. But he's only got himself to blame for it because he decided that he was going to draft Jordan Love a year ago without giving Aaron Rodgers even an inkling or a heads up that it was potentially going to happen. We live in a world now where the San Francisco 49ers told Jimmy Garoppolo that they were going to draft the quarterback. The Minnesota Vikings told Kirk Cousins that they were going to draft the quarterback. And you're talking about a middling guy in Kirk Cousins. No shade to Kirk, but he's just not Aaron Rodgers. And the fact that the Packers didn't tell Aaron Rodgers that they were at least thinking about it, that was disrespect, and that's why Aaron Rodgers is taking it so personal. That's also why I think he's going to be resolute in his position not to show up and play for him this year.
Yeah, the Vikings taking a quarterback in the third round this year in Kellen Mond. Kimberly, put a final thought on this here. As far as the timing is concerned, because we know it can't happen for salary cap purposes until June, but the real inflection point, I think, is training camp in August. So how would you view the timing of this thing as it plays forward?
You know, when I ask GMs and NFL execs, they say the worst thing the Packers could do right now is be hard-pressed to do something. They don't have to do anything. They could try to smooth things over in the meantime, appease Aaron Rodgers, say, we are so sorry, what can we do to make this better? Go to him directly. Don't do any intermediary conversations. Speak to him directly. But really, if he doesn't show up, then you just try to get money back and you roll with Jordan Love. You put it on him. But for now, they're not hard-pressed to do anything.
That is an option. And then Aaron Rodgers is forced to, like, retire like Carson Palmer once did. And no one wins in that circumstance. There's no winner when great football players aren't playing football. All right, everyone sit tight on that. Right. We have much more on that story as we continue. But we've got to take you to fight night at Madison Square Garden last night. You're not going to believe what happened as the Rangers hosted the Capitals. And here's why it happened. Going back to Monday night, the Capitals' Tom Wilson, who has a history of crossing the line, got into it first with Pavel Buchnevich. He hit him in the head while he's laying on the ice. Then he grabs the Rangers star, Artemi Panarin, and does all sorts of terrible things to him, slamming him on the ice, pulling him up, shoving him down. Panarin is now out for the season. And then there was a lot of frustration because Wilson was not suspended. He was just fined $5,000. So predictably, last night the Rangers took matters into their own hands. That's the opening faceoff. No one was even thinking of playing hockey, and Wilson wasn't even on the ice. We immediately had fights. We immediately had penalties. We immediately go to the box. Then, 49 seconds later, Wilson comes out for his first shift, and immediately he's into it with Brendan Smith. That's 4.8 seconds that Wilson is on the ice before the fisticuffs begin. There he is. Here comes Smith, and away we go. We're going back to the box here, and that was just the beginning. We're 3 minutes and 24 seconds later off a faceoff. Now we got another one here. We got Michael Roffel and Anthony Beteta when they're going at it and they're going to go to the box. And that is going to give way to the next faceoff. No time passes. No one's even thinking about the puck. We're just going at it. This is Ryan Strome and Lars Eller. They drop the gloves. Everybody is looking on. No surprises here. 100 penalty minutes in the first period alone. The Caps would win the game, but that wasn't the story.
Should have been handled before this game, and it wasn't. So, unfortunately, it had to be kind of on my shoulders, and I thought I took it.
Now, what a complete mess. In total, there were 141 combined penalty minutes, 12 fighting majors, 6 10-minute misconducts. It's the first NHL game in almost 3 years where both teams recorded at least 50 penalty minutes. It's the third between the Rangers and Caps in the last 25 years. So you had that. Then the opposite end of the spectrum, you had brilliance from John Means and the Orioles taking on the Mariners. He's got a perfect game going, bottom of three, and look what happens facing Sam Haggerty. He strikes him out, but hold on. The ball gets away. It's a wild pitch. And that proves to be the only Mariners batter to reach first base. It's a perfect game no more, but the no-hitter is still intact in the ninth. He was two outs away, and then Haggerty strikes out, and now Means is one out away from a no-hitter, again, in which the only base runner came on a third strike swinging that gets away from the catcher. Means throws the no-hitter. 9 innings, 12 strikeouts, no hits, the first individual no-hitter for the Orioles since Jim Palmer in 1969. It's the third no-hitter thrown in baseball this year. It's the 55th time in the history of the sport at least 3 no-hitters were thrown in a season, and this is the third earliest that we've reached that mark, perhaps on the way to breaking the all-time record. Coming up, I have a prediction about Bill and Cam and the Patriots that I guarantee is going to get everyone's attention. That is on the way. And so is this. 5 quarterbacks drafted in the first 15 picks this year. How many will go in next year's first round? Wait until you see Todd's McBoard. It's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and let's take a closer look at some teams and their expectations. Chris Canty, who will have more wins this year, Patriots or Dolphins?
It's going to be the Dolphins, Greeny, and I hate to doubt Bill Belichick, but the Dolphins were a double-digit win team from a year ago with the rookie quarterback starting the majority of the games. I think Tua will be a lot better, being a full year removed from that hip surgery, not to mention the additions that they made down there on the offensive side of the ball, upgrading the offensive line and adding to the skill positions for him. So, for me, it's the Miami Dolphins.
How about in the NFC North, Kimberly, who wins more games, Bears or Lions?
This is like making me choose between eating peas or spinach. I'm going to go Bears because I've got to believe that the combination of Andy Dalton and Justin Fields, whatever combination that's going to be this year, is going to be better than what we saw with Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky. And that defense, it's pretty good, so I'll go with the Bears.
RC, to the NFC West, who wins more games, Seahawks or 49ers?
You know, this one was hard, but I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks. I expect the 49ers to be much improved, especially getting some people back from the injury list defensively. But when you think about the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson and the things that they have to improve, I think that they'll improve offensively, but defensively, but where we start to see them come along toward the end of season and taking another step up, getting some guys back, getting some also guys re-signed, I think that the Seattle Seahawks will be the better team.
Those were two playoff teams I should say Seattle was a playoff team a year ago, and so were the Rams. And this year, at least as far as Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill, the suggestion is that all those teams will be looking up at Los Angeles in the division. You see, they are the favorites right now to win, but it is a slim margin over San Francisco, Seattle, and you got Arizona bringing up the rear. But those are four teams that no one would be stunned if any of them winds up being really good this year. So let's make our early picks here. Ryan Clark, who wins the NFC West and why?
I'm going with the Los Angeles Rams, and Sean McVay made a play for Matthew Stafford because he believed that he could give him an upgrade over Jared Goff, that now they could push the ball down the football field. Obviously, Cam Akers in the backfield, we watched him as he continued to progress last year, and he's going to be one of the better running backs in the NFC, if not the entire NFL. But Matthew Stafford gives Sean McVay that added piece that he hasn't had on that offense, even some creativity that we couldn't see athletically with Jared Goff. Going back to a defense that was number one last year, you bring in Raheem Morris, I expect that to continue. The Los Angeles Rams will be tops of the NFC West.
Kimberly, who you got?
Yeah, I'm not riding the Rams hype train with this Stafford pick. I'm actually going to go 49ers.
It's not a train.
I'm sorry, you're on your own right now. I'm going to go 49ers because I think this team, even what we talk about, even with Jimmy Garoppolo, this team was good. Even though they felt they were deficient at quarterback, this team made it to a Super Bowl. This team, it's predicated on Nick Bosa and Dee Ford and guys coming back healthy. I know that is a big if, but all around, this team is ready to win now, and they just got one of the best quarterbacks in the draft.
Chris Canty, you're next. Who you got?
I'm going with the Rams, and Kimberly, RC ain't going to be alone on this one because I'm buying into the hype. I'm jumping on the bandwagon as well. Listen, the Rams are going all in on this right now. It's Super Bowl or bust for them the next couple of years with Matt Stafford. They hadn't made a first-round pick since 2016. That's the guy they traded to Detroit. They won't make another one until 2024. So it's about the here and now for Les Snead and for Sean McVay, and I got to believe that the Rams with Matt Stafford is an upgrade from what they had last year. They're going to compete at a really high level.
I'm going to pick the 49ers for one reason and one reason only. I don't want Kimberly to make that face at
Thank
me.
You.
I just am not. I am not interested in that. I'm going with San Francisco just so I can be on the right side of that debate. All right, sit tight, guys, because I got Todd McShay ready to go, and he's got the McBoard ready, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But first, Todd, I've not spoken to you since the draft last weekend. What were your favorite picks? Oh, you're over here. What were your favorite picks of last weekend's NFL draft? And let's start with the Jets.
Yeah, I'm just going on value picks, Greeny. I mean, I obviously love Zach Wilson. They got their quarterback for the Jets. They moved up to get Elijah Vera Tucker, the best interior offensive lineman. But then they get Elijah Moore that falls into their lap in the early second round. He's 5'9 and a half, 178 pounds. I get it. He's not going to be your number one outside guy, but he ran a 4.35. He's tough. He'll do the dirty work in the middle. I think he's going to be a great slot for Zach Wilson. After that, I thought Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah was a great pick. I know he had some medical concerns that came in late, and that's kind of why he fell, because of this year with coronavirus and everything was thrown off with the timing of the medical results. But he fell to 52. I had him at 14 on my board. That's how highly I think of him. He's going to be that overhang guy, the versatile player on the defense for Joe Woods, the defensive coordinator. He's going to allow them to be really multiple on that side of the ball. And then Najee Harris, the running back, going to the Steelers in the later in the first round. He is a perfect Steeler. Their run game last year, they were 32nd in the NFL rushing the football. And I know part of it is because their offensive line got soft. They weren't as physical as they've been in previous years. But Najee's going to bring that physicality, 235 pounds, and he's going to protect Ben Roethlisberger, and he's going to catch the ball effectively out of the backfield. We saw that with 42 catches last year in Steve Sarkisian's offense at Alabama.
Anyone who knows the dynamic between you and Mel Kiper is right now saying, I think McShay is only saying that because he knows Mel doesn't like a running back going in the first round. Mel actually gave the Steelers
a C. And it's in the same division as the Ravens.
Right. Mel actually gave the Steelers a C-plus for the draft. Were you more optimistic?
I liked it. I didn't love it, but Najee was the perfect fit. I liked Pat Freiermuth, the tight end coming in from Penn State. Then they went offensive line. The biggest question for me, and this is a 12-4 team. I know they stumbled down the stretch. They won 11 straight games to start the season. This is a team that can contend, and no one's talking about them. Everything's Cleveland. Everything's Baltimore when you talk about the division. But if their offensive line can get fixed and they can gel, they've got a chance to be really good. They have the third best scoring defense from a year ago, and they're basically bringing everybody back.
All right, that's a really interesting take, and it's not something I've had a lot of people say, so I like it. Meanwhile, McShay, today on ESPN.com, you have the very first McBoard. You're way too early mock draft for 2022, and it's always about
entirely
the quarterbacks,
too
right?
Early.
That's what we're always talking about, is the quarterbacks. Take us through some of these as we see the quarterbacks. Forget about this idea that there are no quarterbacks in next year's draft. You've got five of them that you are projecting already to go in the first round next year. Give me a few of these guys and give me the NFL comparisons that you see.
Yeah, Keaton Slovis to me is the most underrated of all the quarterbacks coming up in this year's class, coming out of USC. Joe Burrow, he reminds me a little bit of. You know, a little bit of a slender frame, mobile, not an elite athlete, but mobile inside the pocket, can take off and run, very accurate throwing the ball down the field. Completed 70% of his throws the last 2 years. That's seventh in the FBS. So it just tells you in that conference the way he's been able to throw the ball. I had him going to Detroit at two. Then I had Sam Howell, the North Carolina quarterback. This guy's fun to watch. He reminds me of Baker Mayfield. And the reason I say that is kind of a little bit shorter than ideal, thicker frame, moves really well, and has it just brings that charisma to the position. Tough, energetic, and can throw the ball down the field with a lot of accuracy. And then finally, Spencer Rattler, also from Oklahoma, coming off of Baker Mayfield. I compared him to Deshaun Watson. Taller, a little bit leaner frame, really good at creating, extending plays, and just has a knack for understanding where the pressure's coming from, and also a very accurate passer. He's got to become a little bit better decision maker, but we said the same things about Deshaun early in his career. So Rattler may be the guy that winds up being the first quarterback taken. It could be the first overall pick when it's all said and done. He has that much talent, and Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma can develop these guys, as we know with Baker and Kyler Murray.
Yeah, and extraordinarily well. And with Jalen Hurts there as well with that one really good season. It's the McBoard, and we cannot wait. It is never too early to be talking about the draft. Outstanding work. Thank you, Todd. As we continue, how many more good years does Aaron Rodgers have left? And where is he going to spend them? Keyshawn Johnson answers those questions and more. Live next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and as we approach the bottom of the hour, once again, Adam Schefter tweeting, just before we went on the air today, the Packers have begun exploring quarterbacks they can add to their roster for OTAs and training camp. Jordan Love currently is the only other quarterback on the roster, but the team also faces uncertainty surrounding Aaron Rodgers. Packers quarterback search includes some veterans, and we bring it back out here. Chris Canty with us this morning, and Keyshawn Johnson makes his way across the hall, KJZ, every morning, coast to coast on ESPN Radio. Haven't had a chance to talk to you. Aaron Rodgers, this whole situation, in the big picture, do you believe they wind up trading him? And if so, when and where?
Well, first of all, I'm here in my yearly interview with my probation officer. So I think in the end, it could be a possibility that he's gone, especially if he digs in. Now, obviously, there's reports out there that says Aaron Rodgers says that he doesn't want to go back to Green Bay. We haven't heard him say that. Mm-hmm. It's coming from whatever you want to call it, anonymous sources, friends, whatever the case may be. The fact that it's even out there that is definitive, that he's saying he doesn't want to go back. Whenever a player, and I've always said this, even with my own career and others before me and after me, when a player says in any sport, I don't want to be with an organization, eventually that player's removed. We can talk about Carson Palmer, Trent Williams, James Harden, John Elway, Eli Manning. Mm-hmm. They move on because it may take 2 or 3 months, but eventually you're not with that team anymore because there's feelings that are there that have somewhat soured, whatever you want to call it, and they got to get the value for him. They can't mess around with it. June 1st is the start date to really start exploring the opportunity to go get the value. And he's not going to be devalued at all, no matter what, because he's Aaron Rodgers. And they're going to get maximum value for him when that time comes.
So let me ask you the same question I asked Chris a little earlier. What is one team that should just be on the phone with right now with Green Bay and should not hang up until they get him because he will put them over the top and win a championship?
Two teams come to mind for me.
Mm-hmm.
Denver Broncos, Miami Dolphins. Those two teams come to mind for me. But the problem is you're going to have to give a lot back. But Aaron Rodgers is good enough, in my opinion, to put whatever's left on his back to make everybody else better around him. We've seen that he's been only afforded the luxury of having one pure dominant receiver in Davante Adams, and he didn't really get a running game until about a year and a half ago. He had a lackluster running game for a while in Green Bay. So we've seen in a defense that wasn't great that we've seen him kind of put it on his back, so I think it would be those two teams.
It's interesting. I mean, you mentioned Chris Denver when I asked you this earlier, and that seems to be where a lot of the attention is going. The Dolphins, who were good last year and had a really good draft and seem right now as though they're going with Tua as their quarterback, would that surprise you if they found a way to work Aaron Rodgers into their plan?
No, it wouldn't surprise me because you got to think the teams that were interested in the Deshaun Watson move earlier in the offseason would be interested in Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Dolphins feel like they're a quarterback away. It remains to be seen whether or not Tua can develop into that quarterback, but Aaron Rodgers would be huge for them. The only thing that we don't know, because Aaron Rodgers hasn't come out publicly and said so, is exactly what teams he's pinpointing as his potential destinations. He said he wants to be on the West Coast, so you start automatically thinking about the AFC West teams because the Packers aren't going to trade him within the conference. So the Denver Broncos, the Las Vegas Raiders, those would be the teams that would be top of mind. But again, we don't know because Aaron Rodgers hasn't come out and gave us a list. But we do know that Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to play for the Packers. That organization has done everything they can this offseason, from the general manager and the head coach flying out to see him, trying to address the contract. None of it has worked. They leaked that information right before the draft. That was on Aaron Rodgers in his camp, letting it be known he doesn't want to be there.
Key, let me ask you this, just as flat out as I can. If the Denver Broncos get Aaron Rodgers, can they win the Super Bowl this year? Are they a favorite to win the Super Bowl this year?
No, they wouldn't be a favorite, but they would be in the conversation. Because Kansas City did something that nobody is really talking about. They won the draft.
Mm.
And you're probably sitting there saying, how did they win the draft? Well, first of all, they got Orlando Brown, who wasn't in the draft technically, but he was in the draft because they gave up the draft picks to get him. They solidified their offensive line in free agency as well. So what did they lose? Or who did they lose to? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because they couldn't protect their quarterback. So now that they've protected him, Greeny, they're still the favorites to come out of the AFC.
What do you think? Denver, Kansas City, if you put Rodgers on the Broncos, what a showdown that would be. Who would you like?
I think it's a flip of a coin, but I would probably give the edge to Kansas City just because they addressed a major need, which was their offensive line, trading for Orlando Brown, getting Kyle Long to come out of retirement, all the different moving parts there. But I would say Kansas City, but that is a razor-thin margin in terms of the two teams.
Man, you got to give up a lot to get Aaron Rodgers, though. They're going to gut Denver because if I'm Green Bay, you're going to have to give me the stadium. You're going to have to give me everything.
Listen, I'll give you future draft picks if that means I get Aaron
Rodgers. Man, I need Chubb. I need the tight end. I may need Patrick Surtain Jr. or the second. I need everything because I got something you want.
That would be fascinating. And we'll see what Rodgers has to say about all of that. Key, coast to coast again. KJZ, the yelling at me to let you go back. Great to see you, my friend. Thank you.
See my probation officers next time.
It's too funny. All right, as we continue, here we go. Let me bring Kimberly Martin and RC back into this conversation. It is a fun little game we play called Tell Me If I'm Right or Tell Me If I'm Wrong. And I particularly like saying things that Kimberly disagrees with only because she makes that face. So here we go. Kmart, I'm telling you right now, the world is sleeping on one team in the NFL. The New England Patriots are going to win the AFC East this coming season. Kmart, tell me if I'm right or tell me if I'm wrong.
Greeny, I love you. Bro, I love you. You couldn't be more wrong. You couldn't be more wrong. In that division, what are we doing? What are we doing? I'm used to RC not making any sense. I'm used to that. Fine, I can deal. But Greeny, you and I got that genius thing going. We had that Trey Lance vibe going. Now the Patriots, no, you're on your own, brother. I'm sorry.
Let me throw this at you. RC, let me see if I can appeal to you on this one. You know, players are not the only ones who can go on scorched earth tours, right? You got the greatest coach of all time sitting there listening to everyone tell him, oh, it was actually Brady all along. So what does he do? He goes out and spends $1 trillion in free agency. He's getting all these players back that opted out last season on his defense. And he drafts a quarterback who is absolutely perfect for what he does offensively. We are sleeping on the Pats, RC.
Hold on one second. I'm just checking my phone. Buffalo News. Josh Allen's still alive. Yeah. So I don't think so, Greeny.
Still
listen,
alive.
It's not about what the New England Patriots have done. I believe that the New England Patriots will be better. And if you think that Mac Jones is the answer, maybe he will be somewhere down the road. But he's not Josh Allen. They don't have Edmonds. They don't have Tre'Davious White. They don't have Ed Oliver up front. When you look at the Buffalo Bills, they are still the cream of the crop in the AFC East. Anytime you have a guy like Stephon Diggs that comes over from Minnesota and not only becomes a true number one for Josh Allen, but elevates Josh Allen's play to an MVP level. A coach in Sean McDermott that believes in discipline, that believes in making sure his team is in the right place when they need to be, but they have that it factor at quarterback, some of that talent that you can't teach. I believe the New England Patriots will be a better team, but the Buffalo Bills will still be the best team in the AFC East.
No, I can't win anybody over, but as
look
I've said many
times, Greeny. You made
my
me
genius will not be fully appreciated until long after my time. We'll take a short break. Oh, a reminder, by the way, we got an NBA doubleheader coming your way tomorrow night on ESPN, and both games have huge playoff implications. You start with the Celtics. They need wins. They take on Chicago, 7:30 Eastern. Then you got the Lakers and AD. You know they need wins, and they're taking on Damian Lillard and the Trailblazers. That's a big game. It's all tomorrow night on ESPN, and you can watch live on the ESPN app. Coming up, I will tell you which team Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs should be most concerned about in the AFC. That is next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we're back on Get Up. And you know, the draft is now behind us. Free agency is behind us. The overwhelming majority of moves that are going to be made this NFL offseason have been made. And so it is time for the only list that matters. That's Ryan Clark's list of the top 5 NFL offseasons that teams had this year. RC, the floor is yours.
Listen, we're going to start with number one. Usually we go at 5, but we're going to start at number one because I'm too excited about this team. It's the Cleveland Browns. Yes, the Cleveland Browns had the most unfamiliar offseason that any Browns fan has ever seen from the Cleveland because they did things right. Andrew Berry noticed we can't play no defense. So what do? John Johnson, Troy Hill, Jadeveon Clowney, Greg Newsome, Owusu Koramoah falls to him in the draft. They are trying to win now. Then you add Adam Schwartz. Schwartz to the offense, Anthony Schwartz to the offense, and now you have a deep threat with Jarvis Landry, with Odell Beckham Jr., and Kevin Stefanski, who understands how to coach. This team will be one of the biggest competitors to the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's because of Andrew Berry and what he did in the offseason. And at number two, not only in the draft, but in my best offseasons, is the New York Jets, Greeny. That's right. Go get your kid's name officially changed. They're no longer Sam, no longer Darnold. They are Zach and Wilson. And maybe you could give them the middle name Vera and Tucker, because that was a great draft. Don't sleep on Elijah Moore, though. This guy had a first-round talent, drafted early in the second round. You add him with Corey Davis. You add him with Mekhi Becton. Zach Wilson has protection on the left side, and he has playmakers on the outside, along with Marcus May returning on defense with Carl Lawson. This is a good offseason by Jeff Douglas. This is a team that could be on the rise. Maybe not Joe Namath Meek worthy yet, but this team is coming. The New England Patriots. All I remember from last year in the offseason, Greeny, is Bill Belichick sitting at his kitchen table, nothing on the table, no decorations, and a dang dog. This offseason, he was the dog. He was the guy that was out hunting. Aguilar, Bourne, Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, and now you add Mac Jones, 15, and you just waited on him. You didn't jump up and get him. You didn't do anything stupid, but you know why? Because we were dropping babies and catching them, unlike Nelson Aguilar. But that's what the New England Patriots are doing. They are backed in it. They got opt-outs back. The defense is better with Judon, and this team will compete much more than they did last year. And I know I'm going to go with the Chiefs now. You guys are going to say, well, how did they have a good offseason? They were trading. They didn't pick up no skill players. Did you watch the Super Bowl? Patrick Mahomes was under siege. The man ran for 16 games before he threw the dang football. 500 yards of scramble yards before getting sacked or throwing the football. But wait. He also had two of the greatest incompletions of all time. So you know what the Kansas City Chiefs said? Let's protect him. Let's get Brown. Let's get Dooney. Let's get Kyle Long out of retirement, because Patrick Mahomes is an investment. You don't give somebody half a billy and not take care of him. And so the Kansas City Chiefs said, you know what? This is where our goal is. Let's put it in the safe, lock it up, and let it ball. Patrick Mahomes is protected. At number five, we are going with the team that's going to go undefeated. I don't care what Kimberly Martin or Chris Canty says. And even if they don't, it's going to be close. You want to think about running it back? Isn't that what the Kansas City Chiefs were saying last year? We're going to run it back. How about bringing back everybody? Nope, not 20 people, not 21 starters. All the dang starters, and Antonio Brown, and getting Giovanni Bernard. They are just getting better. And you know what Tom Brady is doing after the avocado tequila? He's on the avocado ice cream. Two more years of dominant. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, GM Light, you are doing your thing. Those are my offseason top five teams. Y'all know they're right. And since Graz is not on here to be a curmudgeon, we're not even going to judge my list.
I love it. There's no judging to be done. That is actually extraordinary. There's so much of it I'd like to react to. But let me go all the way back to the beginning, because I said it on the show yesterday, and I want to pin you down on this, RC. I believe the Browns have actually made themselves the single biggest threat to Kansas City and the AFC right now, at least until Aaron Rodgers winds up on one of these teams. What do you think?
You know, Greeny, even though you went against me earlier, you never really go against the squad. I felt some type of way about that. I don't disagree with you. When you look at what the Cleveland Browns have done, and Andrew Berry understanding that they had a huge deficiency defensively and now attacking that problem, and not trying to attack that problem with big names, but doing the smart thing, getting a John Johnson who can run your defense, also make plays at a safety. Troy Hill, a versatile chess piece that can play nickel, play outside, add him to Greedy, add him to Denzel. Jadeveon Clowney for the right price. I believe that this team is Kansas City Chiefs, the next tier, Buffalo Bills, Cleveland Browns. That's where I look at the Cleveland Browns right now. They're a top three team in the AFC.
It's fascinating, because those are the two franchises in the AFC that for 20 years couldn't get anything right. What do you think, Kimberly? Have I got you sold on this one? Browns the biggest threat?
Oh, 100%. I think I covered half of the Browns games last year. That was a team that dealt with so much from COVID to injuries, and they balled out. They shocked the Steelers, shocked Juju, all of those guys. So they're the team to beat in the AFC North and in the AFC altogether besides the Bills. So
yeah, they gave Kansas City a run for their money in the playoff game as well. What do you think, Chris Canty?
I think the Browns are the most complete team in the NFL, not just the AFC. In the NFL, it's all going to come down to Baker Mayfield, who should be better in year two of Kevin Stefanski's system. But I look at what they did this offseason, adding Jadeveon Clowney to that front, that defensive front, adding JOK to that second level, and then John Johnson and Troy Hill and Greg Newsome, their first-round draft pick. This is a really complete team right now. And so I'm just saying, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you better be looking over your shoulder because the Cleveland Browns are coming.
Yeah, they've done absolutely everything right. That is well done. All right, as we continue here in a moment, the big move has obviously yet to take place. Are the Packers starting to realize they have to make it? Aaron Rodgers is on his way out. Who are the best contenders to get him? We'll discuss that next. And Chris Canty, Hembo is coming for you. Here we go. Sneaky Hembo. Which quarterback has started the most games for John Gruden as a head coach? It includes the playoffs? That's the question. The answer's next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, here we go, and it is time for Sneaky Hembo. Chris Canty, you are in the sights of one Hembo over there. Which quarterback has started the most games for John Gruden as a head coach?
Well, Greeny, I started the role with my former teammate Brad Johnson, knowing him and John Gruden had some time down there in Tampa together. But I'm going to go with John Gruden's current quarterback, Derek Carr.
That's close. He's second. But the answer is Rich Gannon.
Oh!
Gotta go back to the days. John Gruden turned him into a league MVP. Gannon started 52 games for Gruden back in his days as the coach of the Raiders. Derek Carr has started 48. Meanwhile, First Take is coming up in just a few minutes here on ESPN. Who looks worse right now, Aaron Rodgers or the Packers? Stephen A., Max, and Molly will talk about that and much more. They are just 5 minutes away here on ESPN. Meanwhile, here's the way I want to finish this today. Let's put 30 seconds on the clock for everybody. And Kimberly, I'm going to start with you. You know, one of the most common destinations we've heard for Aaron Rodgers is Denver. So give me the case in 30 seconds why Aaron Rodgers should want to be on the Denver Broncos. Let's go.
I don't even need 30. Three names. Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, Brett Rippon. That's it. The end. That's the QB room. You have a chance to get Aaron Rodgers. You get Aaron Rodgers. Because that defense, as we've talked about all show long, that defense is set, ready to roll. Get that offense together.
Yeah, and look, if he wanted to throw in some names of some of the offensive weapons as well, if you give Aaron Rodgers those guys, I think they could become household names right now. Maybe they are not, but maybe they could. I like that case. All right, Chris Canty, I'm coming to you next. We just talked about the Cleveland Browns and how good they are and how dangerous they are. Give me the case for Aaron Rodgers to the Browns. 30 seconds. Go.
Well, the Browns would be the prohibitive favorite to win the Super Bowl, even over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who brought everybody back, and including Antonio Brown, who wasn't named a starter. But I just look at what the Cleveland Browns have, and if you add Aaron Rodgers to that offense, knowing the kind of running game they have and knowing how they upgraded the personnel on the defensive side of the ball, I don't see anybody getting in their way in the AFC, not even the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see this name coming up all over the place, but you're hearing Cleveland, which I agree with you. I mean, if they found a way to get him, depending on what they had to trade away, I mean, if they're trading away Myles Garrett and all of that, then maybe that changes the dynamic. All right, finally, RC, how about the Raiders? Make the case for John Gruden's Raiders and Aaron Rodgers. 30 seconds, go.
Absolutely not. I'm not making this case. Aaron, don't go to Las Vegas. They ain't got no Rodney Hudson. They ain't got no Trent Brown, no Gabe Jackson. No Richie Incognito. Nelson Aguilar is gone. Oh, and you got a coach who wants to be the star anyway. The coach doesn't want a star quarterback. He's never really developed a quarterback either. All he ever does is make Derek Carr dang near cry after the game. Aaron, this ain't where you want to go, man. You don't want to be in no Las Vegas. That's not what you want to do. Oh, I'm sorry, Greeny. I was supposed to make the case. I forget sometimes. I play a long time, man.
That is really funny. And I think a lot of people sort of view it that way. All right, let's finish it right where we started. Kimberly Martin, as far as the people you're talking to, because before he winds up on one of these teams, the Packers have to come to terms with the fact that they are trading him away.
Yeah.
What are the people around the league you're talking to telling you about what we should expect?
I think the people around the league think it's too good to be true that Aaron Rodgers would actually be available. Right now, GMs and execs I've talked to don't think he's going to be traded. Obviously, that could change, especially with Shefty's report earlier today. But I've been told, you know, the Packers don't have to do anything right now. You know, you've got the June 1 date. You've got really training camp. That's when things kick off. Like, is he going to show up? If not, then you can say we're coming after that money. And you roll with Jordan Love. But I don't think execs expect it to play out that far. They think Green Bay will do whatever it takes to resolve the situation. The question is Aaron Rodgers just done? And he doesn't even want any apologies at this point.
Well, we'll see. So, RC, I mean, knowing him to the degree that you do with Rodgers, the most famous example of this was Carson Palmer. The Bengals called his bluff. He retired. Mm-hmm. He was out of the sport for a little while. Could you see Aaron Rodgers doing that if the Packers refused to trade him?
I absolutely could. You look at someone that's accomplished the things that Aaron Rodgers has. His legacy is set. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And this is personal. This isn't about business. This can't be fixed with money. It can't be fixed with promises. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to dig in here and say, you know what? If I can't play elsewhere, I won't play at all. And then that's going to put the onus or put the pressure on the Green Bay Packers to make a decision.
It could be one of the most unique sentences ever spoken in the history of the English language. But the leverage he has is he can look at them and say, I can go host Jeopardy if I want to, for crying out loud, Chris Canty. What do you think?
Congratulations, Brian
Gutekunst.
You played yourself. That's the borrow phrase from my man Ebro in the morning. But yeah, the general manager painted himself into a corner. And Aaron Rodgers is going to be resolute in his position. He's not coming to play for the Packers. Eventually, the Packers are going to have to realize that, and they got to use him as an asset and get back what they can for him. But it's a sunk cost. Aaron Rodgers ain't playing for the Packers no more.
It's a mess. Look, it can't happen until June 1st for salary cap reasons. Maybe it happens in August. I agree. I think it is going to happen. Thank you, everybody, for getting up with us today. We will see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.